still streaming. Holmberg's Morning Sickness. Online at 98kupd.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Good morning, everybody. Hello there. Welcome to Friday. U-Fest Day is finally here. My name's John Holmberg. There's Brady. There's Brett. There's Big Dick Toledo. This is the Morning Sickness, and off and running we go for what will be a perfect U-Fest. 80s, going to dip down into the 70s for the show. We couldn't have asked for a better break in the weather for this whole thing. Fantastic. We'll see you there. Get your tickets now. They're going to be a good show. It's going to be fun. Hopkins and I are, Doug's texting me. He's like, got to be there early. I'm like, yeah, because we have to do the $5,000 giveaway there. All right. So Doug and I are going to head down fairly early today, which is going to be interesting.
You are going to be at a show early.
I'm going to be at a show early.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, because they're making us give the money away at like 5:30.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, so we got to get rid of it early. Then the drinking starts.
Nice.
And then the debauchery, the wave on the crowd, and then we're done. I'm there for Chevelle tonight. I like all the other ones, but I'm there for Chevelle. A lot going on this weekend, though. And you get four chances to see Bill Burr. You got the Suns. There's a lot. And, of course, the draft last night. Congratulations, Cardinal fans. Another, the Monty Austin Fort, this general manager you got. Trying to make the best lemonade he can out of the lemons he was given. And yesterday was another one. Marvin Harrison coming in, that Robinson defensive tackle. Like, good first day for the Cardinals. That's pretty damn good. So Marvin Harrison also, for no reason at all, decided to get a little business C-wordy right afterwards and announced that he's not going to be part of the imaging part of the NFLPA. So the Cardinals screwed a little bit because they can't sell Marvin Harrison jerseys quite yet. You're not allowed to own your awesome Marvin Harrison jersey until he gets it straight on who gets the money for that. And I didn't know this, but they have to sign up and be part of the union. They do not have to be part of the image and likeness part. So Madden can't use Marvin Harrison's thing. And his lawyers, in sort of a roundabout way, said, if on the next Madden we're not part of the NFLPA agreement, and they have on the Cardinals a number 18 that just says number 18 and doesn't have a name, but he's the same size, height, and look, we'll sue him. So he's already, like, said, we'll sue Madden. We're going to sue for that because he doesn't want Marvin Harrison's image out there unless Marvin's making all the money. I'm torn on this one. It screws up the system. But it is that guy's right to say, hey, that's my name.
I thought Caleb would be the first C word coming out of there.
Well, Caleb was awesome because his scream made me laugh like when he got drafted. Yeah, and he walked on the stage. He goes, woohoo! Ah! Let this girl scream go. And I'm like, ah! Then he raised his fingers up to show what color he'd painted his nails, which I believe were silver. So, congratulations, Bears fans. You have a very well-manicured quarterback.
Is Izzy going to be interviewing him every Monday morning on Alt AZ?
Oh, he'll be the KDKB quarterback, yeah. KDKB QB. I went with my friend Chris over to Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers to watch. All we do is draft analysis together in the offseason. We're annoying about it. And we're sitting there watching. Bears fan sitting in a booth a couple over with the first pick in the NFL draft. Chicago Bears choose Caleb Williams from USC.
Whoa! Yeah, yeah, yeah!
Like, dude, you've known about
Shocking.
This since January.
Come on, pal.
Stop it. He's like, keep pumping his fist. I'm like, what did you crawl out from under a rock and find out now? Everybody knew this was going to happen. It's a guarantee, you moron.
I was at my event last night, and I couldn't watch it, so I was trying to keep up on the phone. Here comes all my texts. You guys go, Caleb.
Yeah, no, yeah, no, kidding. Who's second? Like, we knew that. Like, he might as well have been in Chicago, like, for the last couple months.
Man.
The dude went nuts. It was hilarious. And I'm just dying laughing, like, oh, Bears fan. Excited about ruining another prospect. We'll see. But then he flashed his cool fingernails, so you got that. Cardinal fans, that's an impressive get. I don't know how I feel about the whole Marvin Harrison not wanting to participate in the don't sell my jerseys. He can, and also he can create his own jersey that's similar to a Cardinals jersey. Can't have Cardinals or NFL anything on it and sell his own stuff.
Like almost his own line.
Yeah. It would be, you know, number 18 in red, but it can't be a Cardinals jersey because he's not participating in that. But it's weird. So, well, they'll come to an agreement eventually, but it is kind of, that's the first time I've heard of anybody doing it. Most of the time when you draft a guy within a day or two, the team's website's like, get your Marvin Harrison jersey at, you know, cardinals.com. Right now they got to work out some details. And Cardinal fans, I hate to break it to you. I've been nice about this. His dad's a murderer. I mean, it's kind of a, you know, nobody
Someone
ever talks
that
about
up
that.
Yesterday, and I totally forgot about
yeah,
that
well,
story.
Well, they've made it go away. It's like the most amazing
it
murder
did.
Ever. Marvin Harrison Sr., and then he just had to leave the NFL. Like, there was the most unceremonious Hall of Famer
retirement.
Walking away from the game ever. You know, they had a gun in his car, dead guy. They asked him, is this your gun?
Both,
sure is.
Both were, kids in the car, I think.
Yeah, were you at this location? I sure was. Did you fire the gun? I sure did. Like, I mean, everything he said was like, I murdered him, and it's all gone away.
In the report, it says the gun owned by Marvin Harrison had been fired.
Yeah. And he said he'd fired it. He didn't say at someone.
He didn't say that on that.
He said he'd fired it, but he didn't say he killed anybody. But he was at the place the guy died. It was in his car. And he was adamant that no one else had used it.
At the car wash.
Yeah, he was adamant when they were like.
You know, circumstantial. You know
this, I mean? Yeah. I mean, he went full
Things
Brett
happen.
On this one. It was
Things
like.
Happen.
But it was dumb Brett. It was like, I don't know. That's what an Italian said. I don't know. I didn't have it all the time. Somebody could have gotten it and put it back.
Exactly.
But he's like, nope. Hasn't been out of my sight in days. He goes, this was used in a murder. I didn't murder anybody, but this gun has been in this car and only used by me. It's like, Marvin, did you hear what I said? This gun has been used in a murder. It's been in my possession the whole time. Do you know what that makes you? You idiot. The Marvin Harrison thing we were talking about last night. I'm like, go ahead, Cardinals. It's a strange
get your Robinson
thing.
Jersey, though.
You get your Darius Robinson. There you go. Well, that's a good pick, too. Darius Robinson is a solid grab. So, Cardinals did real well, and they've got like 9 more picks. Somebody said last night, and I think this is great, that, you know, 6 quarterbacks taken in the first 12. Statistically speaking, 70% of quarterbacks drafted don't work out. So now it's 6 in the first. Be generous. 3 of them will not work out. Which 3? I mean, that's statistically.
Pick 'em.
That's statistically the tradition. Like, all, it'll be really weird if all 6 pan out. But 6 of them picked, 3 most likely will probably bust out. Or just have, you know, it won't be what they think is a first-round pick. And who will they be? And you don't know. You don't know. And if you piss off Kirk Cousins, you've done something. You made Kirk Cousins mad. That's the nicest man in football. And somehow Atlanta picking Michael Penix. And Kirk Cousins tweets out, I didn't know they were going to do that. It's like, oh, you made Kirk Cousins mad. How did you manage that? That was fun. It's a good soap opera. It's a man soap opera. The draft is pretty much, you know, just a people trade. It is based on the old Dutch trading. It's a stage. It's heights, weights, and strengths. And then you pick a person. That's what they used to do way back in the day before they'd ship people over. It's based off of a really strange beginning.
I wonder what Steve Keim was doing last night during the...
Drinking. Of course. I mean, he was at a bar drinking.
Might have been at that bar you went by.
You don't have to
probably.
Wonder. You don't have to wonder too long to find out what Steve Keim was up to. Is this... His second non-draft, did he
have
not,
a party bus rolling?
He's out.
Woo-hoo! Hey, bro. Who's this myself? Foster, I can't remember. Brady!
Hey!
Beth.
Oh, come on.
I remember you.
Brett's the one you remember?
Brad.
Steve-O.
What's up, buddy? Brett's wife is a bartender. I've familiarized myself. Brett used to run a restaurant and was really nice to me because he was afraid that I was... We might not be friends if he was... But his friend is mean to me.
Frank.
Callahan is one of my best friends. I was watching the draft last night, and I was making some crank phone calls. I made a couple of trades.
What'd you get?
I traded Kyler Murray for a sixth grader. Sorry, here Kyler Murray, you got to report to Roosevelt Elementary School today at 12. Brady always was nice to me. Gave me free stuff at Fort Coppola's in hopes we would be best buddies. Brady,
yeah.
You're my guy.
Woo-hoo!
We're going to Mexico.
Again?
I need two bald guys that look kind of like me so I can start groping broads and get away with it. All right. Zero responsibilities in life. Still getting paid.
Whoop, whoop!
Party bus leaving the station right now. Oops. Hey, I was with Marvin Harrison when he killed that guy. There was also another bald guy there. He might have pulled the trigger.
Your driver's asleep.
It's okay. I'll take the wheel. Jesus, drive. Hey, Brett, where's that wife of yours? Where? Hey, where's Michael Bidwell? He's my guy. He paid for my rehab. Success.
It worked.
Oh yeah. I felt great. I felt great, and I'm still celebrating how good a rehab went.
Spending your time away.
Yeah.
Well.
28 days on the beach, and then I needed a drink.
Your head of security, where now?
It's still I'm the head of security at Arizona University of States or the Grand Canyon.
Wow. No.
I think so. There's a lot of hot broads at Grand Canyon. Hey. And they don't drink. So more for me. Hey, guys.
Let's go to Mexico. Come on.
Let's go to Mexico. Sorry, I almost threw up. Steve Kimes not doing anything right now, but he's still.
He was actually on Fox Sports
he
Radio
was.
Last night.
Of course,
night.
He is.
I couldn't believe that they put him on.
Yeah, he's the voice. What do you think, Steve? Well, here's what I think about what the if you find yourself a giant black guy, that's almost a sure thing.
It worked for the Suns. What happened to you? You got the smallest one.
I know it, but on TV, he looks so big. But Kyler is a little wee one. He's so fast. So you got a bunch of big people. They try to get the biggest guy who isn't fat, and then
Mighty Mouse,
and then get a little guy that runs between their legs. It's like a cartoon. There's Marvin and Kyler are next to each other. I think it's gonna be so cute. If I was still at the Cardinals, I would make it a thing. The fans would watch Marvin carry Kyler out to the huddle. I got him in Baby Bjorn, right up. And he's so cute. Such a little. I love him. He's my best friend. Next to Brady. You still got your restaurant?
No.
Kyler Murray's my best friend. Mexico!
Let's go!
Former GM Steve Keim. Nothing like Monty Ossenfort. That dude's all business. I feel like I'm watching a military man work. That was a good one, though. They got it together. And Marvin Harrison is one of those different types.
We'll see.
He's special. No, he's about as.
It's Ohio State. Yeah,
yesterday you're sitting there screaming he was going to be the number one overall pick.
We'll see.
What happened to you? Yeah. We'll see. He's good. Barring injury or something unforeseen, he's about as plug-a-play a player as you can get. He's about as guaranteed.
Yeah, he'll be good.
He's good.
A little bit of everything, and do some singing, some dancing, some chatting with the guests, the skits, the monologues, the comedy.
Wonderful comedy.
It really is a lot of fun.
Hey, it's Kate.
Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Holmberg's Morning Sickness.
Those receivers coming out of Ohio State and LSU and stuff like that, those guys are, they're NFL ready. He was probably NFL ready 2 years ago and, you know, just wasted his time out there at Ohio State. But it got him where he is. This is a pretty nice pick. Cardinals have a good player there. Another Larry Fitzgerald. Another lifer, really. I like that. It's a good pick. It's fun. And the Steelers got a guy from the South Pacific named Troy. It just feels right. You got another Polynesian named Troy. I like those. That feels like a good feeling. Bengals got Amarius Mims, the largest man I've ever seen in my life. And the Seahawks drafted another. Everybody went unsexy except the Bears. The Bears were, everybody went O-line or defensive tackle or something. The Bears, they went flash. They got their quarterback and a receiver.
They had to.
Had to.
I mean, it's, you know, he had no choice.
Absolutely had to. Yeah, it's a strange thing to watch, really.
I can't believe how many people showed up for that.
275,000 people in Detroit.
Leaving that place at 1 a.m.
Oh. Yeah, they're wandering around the streets of Detroit. You know, I wouldn't walk around there normal, but yeah, 275,000 people showed up to Detroit. I mean, they were all Detroit people. Like I said, nobody made it their destination unless they were within driving range. Nobody's flying to Detroit. Next year, it's in Green Bay. In 2 years, it's in Pittsburgh, which is pretty awesome. What happened?
No.
Oh, Detroit. You were just thinking of Detroit. Green Bay. Yeah, oh, yeah. I heard. Yeah, those make sense to me, but Detroit. Blech. But they did a nice job, and it'll keep going today. All good. We'll be at U-Fest watching our phones. Every time a pick comes in, my phone will buzz.
What time is the...
I think 4 o'clock. Okay. Yeah, I think we go at 4 today. So it should be pretty fun. And U-Fest starts today. About 4:30 you get there. Doors are opening up, and then we get rolling right away. Bury the Darkness will be first and foremost, and smiling the whole time.
They should.
I hope they get a lot of support. I know it's early. I hope that there's enough people there to make them feel like they got something together. Because it is weird to look at that venue when you're the first band, and you know there aren't many people there. And it looks like there's less because there's so many seats and so much space open. But I hope they get a nice pop.
You know, the last couple of years, our early bands have been, I mean, we started with Plush.
Yeah.
And last year we had The Warning, which were amazing. And then Bury the Darkness this year.
No, The Warning was like second or third last year, right?
I thought they were first.
No, they didn't open. I saw them. Really? I wouldn't have been there for that.
Oh, no, I think was it the Black Moods?
The Black Moods were there. That's okay, right. Yeah. Black Moods. Then there was someone else. And then The Warning, I think. You might be right. It might have been Black Moods I walked in on. Either way.
I can't remember, but.
It was a nice crowd for them.
Great openers, yeah.
Yeah. So, and tonight will be similar. You get that. Who's second? Bad Wolves?
Yes.
Bad Wolves going two? That's pretty good. That's a good lineup. It's a fun
I think
part.
Pretty much the lineup is pretty much how the poster is. So, you know, Bury the Darkness.
And the poster. I happen to be privy to a couple of phone calls on that one, which were hilarious. Because it would, you know, obviously Offspring's top billing on the poster. Yeah. And you have to approve the poster with all of the acts. So Motionless in White and Chevelle were going back and forth on the size of the font of the poster.
Oh, yeah.
And like, oh, I don't know. Chevelle's is just put us up, make our font a little bigger. And then Chevelle's like, well, now they're even, make our font a little bigger. So it just started to grow. And the next thing you know, they're the same size as Offspring. So then what they did was they dropped Chevelle down and then dropped them and then sent them one that was really small. So, well, that's too small. They boosted it up a little bit. Back to what it was the first time they saw it. And they're like, there, that's it. So we went through all these little font changes. And then Dom was here. He dropped it all the way down to these weird ones that he knew they wouldn't like. Like this. No, good Lord. Now we're the same size as POD for crying out loud. And then put it right back to where the very first time that he presented it. And they're like, that's perfect. It was hilarious. And it's not the bands. It's these idiots that run them. Made a big stink over font on the poster, which is hilarious.
And Larry, one of the nicest guys around here, was just losing it.
Yeah.
I mean, he was going to send me down to management. Yeah.
We got to start talking to these guys. I was dying because I'm sitting there. Larry's like, well, now, Now I don't know what to do. And Dom just said, oh, I got a trick. Send them something they absolutely hate, and then send them back the original one, which, you know, they just wanted to see if we'd do it. Sent them the very first poster we made is the poster you see.
Perfect.
And it went through probably 2 days' worth of adjustments and redraw. You know, it's computer, so you can shrink it, but only to go back to the original one and go, there you go. Finally, thank you guys for getting that right. You know, let's try to work. Let's work. Let's be better next time. All right. Sorry about that. Morons. And now if they're listening, they're like, wait a minute. We got font fooled. Our band's not playing tonight. Probably be some controversy for me talking about it.
The only mega band that I've heard that's still in charge that looks like if you send him a poster and he approves it is Mick Jagger.
Oh, the Stones are big on keeping everything on their own. Metallica is another one that nobody's doing it for them. They show up and point.
Those are the wrong lips, mate.
Yeah. Yeah. Mick is a big, he protects the logo. He's a, and you know, it's kind of worked out for him. I think he's done okay. I got this email. I just have to, I love this. It says, dear guys, I'm a private investigator. I'd like to stay anonymous, so I'm not including my name. I was recently hired by a woman to keep an eye on her husband. She didn't believe that he was golfing when he said he was. So she got me on the case. She said she's assuming it's an affair, but she just doesn't believe he's doing what he says. Gambling was in question. It was my job to find out. Turns out the guy's squeaky clean. He is golfing pretty much 3 times a week. In my work, though, you find yourself pretty aware of other things going around the people that you're watching. First off, the wife that followed me then asked me, hey, text me and tell me which course he's at. And tell me what time he's going. So every day he would golf around 1, I was texting her, which made me wonder, what does she need to know this part for? I'm going to get to her. So I took the day to follow the husband. He's golfing in Scottsdale. And I text her and said he is indeed at the course with 3 male friends. Apparently one just met him here, 2 came with him. She thanked me and said, hey, stay there the whole round and tell me if he leaves early. So I said yes. My ears perked up.
Yeah.
And I started to head over to the wife. Just to keep an eye on what she was up to. She left the house and went to a place where a man answered the door. Then she walked in. 2 more men came in, and the reason I'm writing you is because one was in a firefighter t-shirt. You guys made the claims this week that you got to watch out for those dudes. Confirming what you said. Then 2 more guys showed up. 30 minutes later, one guy came outside, started vaping, and he was wearing nothing but a robe. So the wife hired me. The husband, he actually seems like an up-and-up dude. And it's sort of code in the business only to deal with the person who hired you. The guy paying you is the one you deal with. Part of me wants to tell this innocent guy his wife is having gangbangs while he golfs, and I'm the one telling her when he leaves. You have no clue what people are doing out there when you're not home. Signed, the PI.
Wow.
How about that? So she hired a private investigator to keep an eye on the guy so she knew when she could gangbang.
Got a 4-hour window.
That, yeah, pretty much. And just make sure he doesn't leave early. So hang around. If he gets in his car, you know, ping me. Let me know what's up. That way I can remove all these dorks from my body and head home and act like nothing's going on.
Here's what's going to happen one day. Especially if he's playing this summer.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just going to go 9.
Right. Well, that's why she's asking him to stay and watch to see if he leaves early.
She must be making some dough.
Yeah.
Because
she's paying for a PI. So
yeah.
But here's the thing. He's not going to find her at the gangbang house, even if he plays 9.
Right. She's not home. Are you?
Yeah. She's out shopping or doing whatever she does. The thing is, to me, though, is that she clearly doesn't have a job. Unless she's catching money on the side for the gangbangs. That's
probably what she's doing.
I want to be a private eye so bad. I want to do a ride along. I know there's you think you can just go through a couple of classes and get your license?
It's got to be easier than being a life coach. I mean, you know, just get online.
Life coaches, you can ruin people's lives as a life coach with a internet class. I don't even know if it's a class, it's like a questionnaire. Private eyes, I'm sure it's boring a lot of the time sitting there watching, you know, husbands and wives and who's going where, but man, oh man, do I want that.
I'm going to do both. Life coach and private eye.
There you go. Knock it all out at once.
Do you go back and tell? He's going to be loyal to the person paying him. But if you were that private eye, do you go back and tell the wife, at least, I know what you're doing? I mean, she's going to be like, I don't care. like, I'll deny it. And he'll, you know, if you get pictures.
Now 8x10 glossy.
Now it's entrapment. I mean, the dangerous thing is you go back and she's paying you. So she's like, get rid of those pictures. And now, and you're like, no, I'm not going to do it. If he's taking photos of her, but I think I'd have to, I don't know, would you tell the guy that you've, you know, your wife's got me watching you?
Yeah, basically, I think I can't do this anymore. You're no longer my client. Because maybe, what you hired me to do, look on your husband, and now.
Yeah, isn't that a conflict of interest?
Yeah.
This guy emailed me and he goes, Black Ops don't work that way. I'm like, who said anything about Black Ops? You can just be a private investigator. My uncle wanted to do it, and he's a complete dolt. Like, he's like, I think I'm going to be a PI. I'm like, how do you do that? He goes, I don't know. Go through a class, and I'm like, you can do classes for, like, a community college? And I'm like, man, I don't know how it works. I want to do it.
If that guy can get a Ferrari and live in some big mansion, I can do it, too.
I think Magnum ruined it. And you got to remember, Magnum was borrowing everything. It wasn't like he was rolling in dough. Magnum was living in
a house.
It was Cato Kaelin. Magnum was not a...
It wasn't a great setup.
Well, I mean...
Everyone went for the car.
It was Robin's car.
In Higgins' place, right?
It was Robin Masters' house. Higgins wasn't even... Higgins was a housekeeper.
Oh, that's right.
Those two dudes were kind of just scumbags. Magnum P.I. was not a... he was the worst of people. He was the dude that acted like he was a thing. And, like, scored a bunch of broads based on somebody else's success that he was glomming onto. He didn't have any money.
Fake it till you make it.
And he was doing that. Mm-hmm. He was basically, and I don't know why Robin was never home, but live in my mansion, drive my Ferrari, and bang everybody in Hawaii.
Sign me up.
I agree. Like, that seems like a life. That is the grifter of grifters. Magnum wasn't cool. He's a deadbeat. And they kick him out. I remember had an idea for a show where they booted Magnum. I think it was an AI thing I did right off the bat where Robin comes home and kicks him out. Like, you're done here. He's like, huh, where do I go? And he had nowhere to live, and he becomes like a street urchin. He's just a terrible person. Yeah, Magnum P.I. wasn't. He wasn't. Thomas
he
wasn't
had
a
options,
good dude.
Really. I mean, he could have taken one of those ladies that fell for him. Every other episode.
Oh, he could grift again.
Yeah.
He was a grifter.
Yep.
He would have to live with a woman and then grift her. And then it turns out, I mean, if you watch The Real Magnum, he would have been a guy who just stole money from people. That's all he was. And so we loved him. But you're right. I think people look at the Ferrari and think that's the life of a PI. When really it's Fletch. Like, you got that old
beat-up car or whatever.
You live in a cruddy apartment, and he was a writer but he started to do a little PI work on his own, and that was essentially, that's what you would end up being. I don't think private investigators get paid a ton, but I sure would like to do that. I would like to follow someone around and find out his wife's in gangbangs and then wrestle with who to tell.
Oh,
immediately.
A little bit of everything. I do some singing, some dancing, some chatting with the guests, the skits, the monologues, the comedy.
Holmberg's Morning Sickness.
Wonderful comedy.
It really is a lot of fun.
Holmberg's Morning Sickness.
A good PI would find the Pornhub link and send it to the husband.
Oh.
It's real easy. It's not difficult.
I don't even know how to do that. What would you put in the search? Lady I've been following at gangbang on Alameda?
I don't know.
I guess
you're... Third party.
Five black guys taking on one white chick? I don't know.
I mean, you're going to get so many. Well, I guess that's your job. You got to comb
through all
the evidence and find her. Pretty awesome, though.
Hell, I could be a PI for that.
To go through porn?
Yeah.
You'd be like a side
thing. You and Pete Townsend.
Yeah. Oh, that would be great.
Pete's got his own clientele.
This guy said, Holmberg, if you're a private eye, I want to hire you. With that giant Jew beak, you could sniff out everything. Just kidding, Big Chief.
Something doesn't smell right.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Toucan Sam.
So, dude, you can't change a tire, windshield wipers, or do anything handy around the house. You'll be the best private investigator of all time. Those guys just stare. I'm great at watching.
Oh, Magnum P.I. never put any windshield wipers on the Ferrari.
Exactly. He had people for that. Toledo should be a P.I. That's all he does is cuck stuff. Just watch from the outside. Yeah, I don't know how it works, but I think it would be pretty fun. That would be a good thing to do in retirement. This guy says, I bet you she's just grabbing dudes off Tinder or Bumble. No idea who they are. When the husband gets gonorrhea or something, I hope the P.I. feels bad. It could be. Yeah. bringing home five different pieces. I remember when I lived in the Arcadia area and I walked by that house and the neighbor had purchased, or the guy had purchased his neighbor's home. He had two houses next to each other. One was his house to live in and one was his house for his porn shoots, but he presented them like he did commercial work and like films. Man, my dogs were never in better shape. I must have walked my dogs 400 miles going by this house every day about 5 o'clock. All the camera stuff was set up. When I'd come home, I'd have to drive by this house. And if I saw the scaffolding and lighting, I'm like, ooh, we got to shoot today. Run to the house, leash up Sheila and Dutchie and start walking around the road. And he'd stand outside of his living house. How you doing? Hey, got a big shoot today, huh? Sure enough. And then the most beautiful women you've ever seen pulling up in Mercedes and walk right into the filming house. And we all knew, like everybody in the neighborhood was like, oh, he shoots porn there. And the best thing ever is my dog, my old English sheepdog, Dutchie, and I walk by, and he'd see us walk by pretty much every day. How you doing? Hi.
Yeah.
Creepy. Remember Tumbleweed from the booze bar?
Oh, yeah,
the
yeah.
The blues bar? He looked just like that guy. A big tumbleweed. One of those guys. Like, biker, but not. Like, you'd think Aaron Brockovich lived next door. He looked like that. So I walk by with Dutchie every day, and then Dutchie got her hair shaved, and I walk by. And the most beautiful black girl I've ever seen in my life goes into the house. And I mean, I'm slowly walking by this porn house and he stands outside and he goes, you got her shaved.
Sure did, Tumbleweed.
The dog? Who are we talking about here? What? Huh? She shaved. I like him shaved. Okay. Me too. Can I have a job? I just want to hold the lights or the microphone. Yeah, so that's, you're curious. I mean, that's the whole point of Facebook and Instagram and all that crap. We're all peeping Toms deep down. So deep down, I think all of us would take the job of being a private investigator.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you had the chance for money to keep an eye on Brett for a little while, if Mathiah came up and said, I'm going to give you
$1,000.
Oh, I'll give you $1,100. Just tell me what he's up to. And then it would just be Brett, rubbing pasta noodles all over himself with some dude up at the Italian-American Center. And
I got to tell you, this guy does a lot of weird stuff with noodles. Is he having an affair? Unless you count noodles, no. This dude loves noodles.
I would do it. That seems fun. So I want to thank that private investigator, and I also want you to email me back and say, come with. Although I'd probably be so loud and dopey. Like, you'd hear me. Constantly, he'd get caught because the guy in the car would be going,
there he is!
Oh, shut up! You're right. I'm sorry. We'd get busted. P.I. Good stuff. And there are people out there right now. I always think about that now. Listening. Who are driving right now. Wondering, is there a P.I. behind me? Or someone who has hired a private investigator that's thinking about it at this very moment because we're talking about it. They're out there. Some lady is getting ready for work or driving to work right now. Thinking, I have a PI. I've done that. And really, do you want to know what he's going to come back with? Because it might not be what you have him followed for. He might not be having an affair. But like when I was on my ride along with the cops and found out about the homeless situation, which is a lot of dudes who are married use the homeless as sex toys. To get their, it's a strange thing. Like if they're like a lot of businessmen
exercise their prostate.
Yes, and to have a homeless guy sit in their car and do some things to them, and nobody would suspect the homeless. And that one dude we pulled up on had his construction company shirt and his construction truck. He was like the owner of the contracting deal, and he's talking to the most homeless guy I've ever seen in my life. He had like five carts. Up against it, my cop friend and I pull over. The cop said, hey, we got you, both of you, you got to go. Well, I'm just helping him out. And he's like, do you want to be his advocate? What does that mean? You can help him out and take him down to the shelter. You can, here's the card that makes you, oh, I'm not interested in any of that. And he goes, okay. And both of us noticed that the homeless guy was holding 40 fresh dollars, two 20s. And the homeless dude was
fresh.
I mean, homeless. Like, even if you were to make a movie and say, I need him to look homeless. And that guy showed up, you'd be like, not that homeless. That's too far. This dude was homeless. And The officer I was with tells the homeless guy, all right, I need you to clear out all the stuff. You cannot stay here with all this garbage. You've got way too much stuff. And he said, and I'm going to get you some help. And we left that spot. The construction guy drives away. Homeless guy's got $40 in his hand. We leave. And my cop buddy goes, watch this. And we drove a big circle and went back. And that construction guy was there again talking to that same dude. And he gets out and he goes, I think I just told you to go away. And he said, and I told you to clean up. He goes, what are you doing back here? And he goes, I just feel bad for him. He goes, I know what you're doing. Go home. And we're like, oh, this is great. And then I'm in the car going, I didn't realize it was sex because that guy was too dirty to even think about that. And I get in the car and I'm like, what is that? And he goes, people who are extra like that in this area are soliciting the homeless for, you know, a lot of, they don't want to be gay at home. They want their normal lives. They don't want it to leak out. They're still embarrassed. They're religious. They're whatever. So they come down here and a homeless guy gives them what they need, and then they go home, and nobody's any the wiser, because if the homeless guy talks, no one's going to say anything. You know, what? He's nuts. Oh, that's awesome. It was a great, like, eye-opening moment for never talking to the homeless, really, is why I learned from that, is that if people think you're getting blown by them.
And you save so much more money.
Yeah, you stop giving them. You give it to shelter. Well, that's what he said. Give it to a shelter. Give it to a service. If you want to be an advocate, there's places to do it. You don't just go give them money and walk away. And you don't hang out with them either. Because the assumption there is, oh, okay, you're getting a little extra from this guy. So, and if you were to see, like, the guy I saw, even thinking about a hand job from him is gross.
Well,
I'd have those surgical gloves up to the elbows and... The last thing you want is him talking. I mean, he stunk outside. I can't imagine what it would be like in the cab of a truck. And then you whip your willy out and just go, all right, go ahead. What do you think of? I mean, everybody do it real quick. Close your eyes. Sit in your driver's seat of your car, right? You're there. Put yourself there. Brady, you're in the Lincoln. Brett, you're in your Lincoln. Wow, everybody's got a Lincoln.
I know.
I'm in my Jeep. And then imagine you're getting an old-fashioned. And you open your eyes, and now picture the most homeless person in the world doing it.
Ugh. I already know the smell.
You cannot do it. You know the smell of you or the homeless guy?
The homeless.
Yeah, it's equal. You can't. How do you finish? And then you got to look and go, this can't be what my life is. That can't be better than not telling people you're a homosexual. Just be gay, for God's sakes. I can't let people know I'm gay. That's disgusting and against God. I'm going to let this homeless dude jerk me off here at the McDonald's parking lot for a minute. That keeps God off my back. I'm still married and stuff. And you go home to your wife with homeless hands all over your wee.
Ugh. Work was tough.
Work was tough.
Got in the mud. Got in the mud a little bit today.
Yeah, and that's something I didn't even ask. And normally I'm inquisitive. I didn't even get into that. Do they have sex with them? Nah, most of the time they make them just mouth hugs or hands. I'm sure a few of them get. Well, I've seen that at Sodomy Gulch riding my bike, where some of those weird coked out twinks will climb down into the ravines and stuff.
Gulchland.
I'll never forget the mailman that came climbing out of that wash. And right behind him was a twink in terry cloth shorts that were way too little. August, like 108 degrees, and I'm riding my bike.
Aside.
And they came, yep, that's exactly, oh, Brett. Oh, I'm going to get up and slap Brett in the face. They climbed out of a wash. They didn't expect me to be sitting there drinking water. Huh? Why is there a fully dressed mailman, like he's in his whole mail outfit, climbing out of the dirt?
Speedy delivery.
There's a twink behind him. Wait a second.
Ew. Vanity plate, Semenex.
On a mail truck?
No.
Oh, I was going to say. That would be impressive if the mailman went, I'm getting vanity plates for the government vehicle. And it's going to be filthy. Semenex. I'm the Semenex mailman. It was weird. So just if you're up to no good today, just remember, there could be a private eye that you hired keeping an eye on your gangbangs. By the way, private eye, how about showing me where this lady is going to work? I'd like to see that house. The gangbang house. And then it dominoes in. Like, she's the gangbang house, they've got neighbors. Do they know it's gangbang central in the middle of the day? I assume it's as easy as watching five or six dudes walk in and then come out in a robe and smoke.
That's hilarious. Out in a robe.
I used to have a guy did that in my old neighborhood years ago. He'd smoke on his front patio in a robe. He didn't want to. He just go outside and smoke, and he's wearing his morning robe. And he was just a miserable husband.
Smoke inside.
Yeah, he's not allowed to smoke in the house, yeah. So he's smoking out the window, so to speak.
Smoke.
Yeah, he's got the window. He's got the window open. He's like, I'm not going out. I'm not going to change my clothes. I'm just going to put a robe on. He'd stand up. Tony Soprano used to go outside in a robe all the time. Get the paper. He collapsed a couple times in the robe.
He made it look good.
He did. He's a handsome man. There you go. So just be warned. Rockwell was right. Always feels like somebody's watching me. It might be actually doing it. And if you're up to no good, knock it off. How about that? There you go. Let's get a wake-up song, shall we? One for Marvin Harrison, maybe. Welcome him to the Valley. And then ask him if you can buy one of his specially made shirts because the Cardinals can't sell them. 585-9800. That's the number. It's the wake-up song. It's coming up. We'll scream it together. It's 98 KUPD. Wake up!
Arizona's most powerful rock radio station.
He said, fully erect.
98 KUPD.